basically a current service level of budget. The next section of the budget that I'd like to cover is capital improvement. In this particular budget, we are requesting about not quite $3.4 million of current service level for capital improvement on a variety of facilities that we have scattered across the state. And we are asking, as part of the governor's recommended budget, a program option package of $493,500 of other fund dollars for capital improvement in a set of facilities that are there. And you can see those, the specific projects for both the current service level budget as well as the program option packages on pages J3 through J5. And I think Marty had a slide up that showed, again, our facilities. We are, like some of the other natural resource agencies, such as parks and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, that we do own our own facilities, have for 50, 60 years. And most of them were built around the time of the three C's, the WPA. They're fairly, not all, but fairly old buildings that we're having to put more money into. We do evaluations. We'll show you that some of that when we get into the capital construction budget. Do evaluations on the buildings and make decisions at times when it's necessary to replace them, as opposed to just continue to put money into them.
Madam Chair,
Representative Krupp.
In your option package, it looks like the lion's share of that money is going into your headquarters building here in Salem, roughly $477,000.
Yes, that's correct, Representative Krupp.
What's that? I see HVAC install and plumbing upgrade. HVAC stands for?
Heating, ventilation, air conditioning. Okay. And the State Foresters compound was built in 1938. The building, kind of a house-like building that I'm in, was built as the State Foresters headquarters. And is actually on the historic register because it was built by the three C's, the WPA. The wood products industry at the time donated all the lumber, so each office is paneled in a different wood. So my office is an example, it's paneled in myrtle wood. Another office my deputy is in has what's called matchbook burley maple on the walls. So it's a beautiful building, but it is in bad need of an upgrade in both plumbing as well as the heating ventilation system. It's really the heating of the time, if you will, and we've continued to have problems with that. Last biennium, we had to have the building rewired because we almost not only burnt our building down, but burnt down an adjacent building where the major electricity for the compound came in, and it ours backflashed through a standpipe in this other building. So we actually had to go in and get that remedied. So what we're trying to do here is take care of some basic maintenance for that old building. Now the other buildings were all dirt floor warehouses, and over time were converted into offices. And the legislature made a decision about four sessions ago that the other buildings, based on some studies that we had done professionally, that weren't worth keeping and that we ought to basically start over. And you have approved two phases of the reconstruction project where we moved all of our shop facilities to 3 acres that sit behind the Department of Transportation's maintenance yard. That phase is done, and we're now about this in April. We'll be letting a contract for the next phase, which will put up two new buildings, one for our operating programs, Fire Force Practices, State Forest, and another one that we call the Public Service Building, which will include personnel, public affairs, as well as the Board of Forestry meeting room. And that's actually a nice lead into the capital construction budget because we last session were asked to delay the sale of COP by which we're paying for this reconstruction. And in so doing, our costs for this phase two, we anticipate is going to be about $1.5 million more than we had originally anticipated. So what we're asking, and this is, I have to point out, this is not in the governor's recommended budget, but we've been told it's okay to discuss this with you. We're asking for $135,946 of general fund and about $83,000 of other fund in order to service the debt on the additional $1.5 million of COP. So that, when you look at page K3, what I'm talking about is that final completion of the Salem compound phase and the selling of $1.5 million of the COP, and that's the next biennial cost that I referenced there. The other two pieces in the capital construction budget are the authority to go forward with the Tillamook Forest Interpretive Center, and the authorization would be for $13.5 million. Now, that's all other fund in that, and I mentioned earlier that the department had committed $3 million of money off of State Forest for that, but the rest of it will be gathered through grants. I mean, that is donations from interested parties and organizations, philanthropic institutions, and we feel that by towards the end of this biennium, we will have completed that capital construction, that capital campaign, and be in a position to begin that particular project. We talked a little bit about that earlier when we discussed the state forest program. The final piece that's recommended in the governor's budget is the construction of a new headquarters in Tillamook. Representative Thompson referenced that in her comments. The building that we have there is fairly old and small for the needs that we have. And we have acquired property adjacent to the existing headquarters where this new facility would go. Our old facility would then be rented to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who is currently in a couple of really old buildings on our Tillamook compound there. And this particular project would be $6.5 million of other fund.
Madam Chair. And this other fund is COP also?
In this particular case, no. We would in this particular case, we would pay for that out of the account we have for State Forest.
Okay,
the revenues off of State Forest.
Right.
So
this building is principally, the people that are principally housed in that particular office work on State Forest. So, and then what we would do would rent, if you will, back space for the fire control program, forest practices program on a square footage basis to the other program. So the State Forest program would basically buy this building.
And over what length of time, Madam Chair, if I may, my apologies.
Well, may I just have one point of clarification here? So the money to build the district headquarters in Tillamook would come out of money that, if it didn't go in this direction, it would go into the common school fund?
No. Madam Chair, the money that would come from for this would come from the sinking fund. When we sell timber off of Board of Forestry lands, we keep 36.25%. That goes into a sinking fund, and that we use to manage the land as well as to do projects like this when you approve them. And this money would come out of that sinking fund. It would not impact the common school fund.
Thank you.
Thank you. And how long will you just write a check for this in 1 year, or how will you?
We would write a once just, the building
is completed. Okay. Do you have, and Madam Chair, if I may?
Yes.
Do you have, is the sinking fund, does it have a large amount of money in it that you can just write a check for this?
Yes.
And you have the sinking fund for the purposes of these types of things?
Well, it's principally aimed at the investments back into the land. And to, when necessary, to do maintenance that you, again, under the capital improvement budget that you approve, or in this case, if you approve this project, to pay for this type of a project. We try to maintain anywhere from 10 to 20 $1 million in that fund in order, because if you go through a recession, you've got to have enough capital to carry you through that. And we've done revenue projections that show that we could accommodate this type of a capital construction project, as well as maintain the fiscal budget that we have proposed, or the biennial budget that we have proposed to you in the State Forest Program.
And one last question, Madam Chair.
You're going to rent the old, after you build a new building, you rent the old building back to ODF&W. Is there enough rent money coming off of that to, if you were to finance this construction, to pay your interest costs? Or how will you base your rent? Okay. There wouldn't be?
Mark is saying no.
But how would you base your rent into ODF&W? On what basis? Just.
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, Clark Seeley, Assistant State Forester for the Department of Forestry. Chair Morgan, Representative Krupp, will base our rent to ODF&W just on the basis of a fair market value rent for the Tillamook area. It'll be intended to cover our maintenance and operating costs, you know, for upkeep of the building and so forth. But since those old buildings have long since been purchased and covered in terms of original capital, this will just be a rent to pay for the operating costs.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If I recall right, those monies are distributed, are they not?
That's correct.
So the money that we collect from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, part of that money will be distributed to the county, to the counties, because if, you know, any money that we make that's associated with state forests, be it off the land directly or off a facility like that, under the law, is distributed.
Representative Nola.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That sort of leads into my question. Does this sinking fund have an actual name?
Called the Forest Development Fund. And you can find it in Chapter 530. I can't give you the specific quote.
That's good enough. And if I might follow up, you indicated that 36.5% of timber sales off state forests go into that fund.
36.25%.
Okay. Can you tell us what the other 63.75% goes into?
Yes. I can go to page G26, which is behind the state forest tab. Mm-hmm. Under the law, the remaining amount is distributed to the counties in which the timber is harvested. And so we send a check. So let's use Tillamook County or Clatsop County as an example, and we'll send it to the county treasurer. The county treasurer will then distribute the money in the following way. The counties are allowed to keep not less than 10% of that money for their general fund. And then the balance, they distribute to taxing districts in their county. And the first one that they do is to the county school fund. Like 25% goes to the county school fund. Then they distribute the balance to the taxing districts, of which the county school fund is a taxing district. The county is a taxing district, but so are all the schools. And in some cases, libraries and rural fire departments. And so when you, if you will, moosh all that together across the counties, where that 66.75% goes is shown in this graph. So the money that goes to the counties in the end, about 27% ends up in the county treasury, 20% in the county school fund. And as I was mentioning the other day, that's principally used, at least where we've examined, to pay for the back billing that the counties get for kids that go to Dornbecker's or to Hillcrest or Fairview or wherever. And then if there's any money left over, it actually goes into K through 12. Then about 38% goes in directly into K through 12 through the school districts, and about a little less than 6% goes into other education, I assume the ESDs. And then about 8% goes to the other taxing districts, again, the rural fire departments, the libraries, that sort of thing. So that's where that money goes.
Another follow-up,
Representative Miller?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this distribution is set by statute.
Correct.
The 36.25% that remains in this forest development fund, what are the allowed uses for those funds?
It's fairly broad in terms of the management of the land. So, you know, it doesn't say X percent into roads or timber sales or recreation or whatever. It's really allocated to the department. It's actually in two different pieces of a formula. We're allowed to keep, if you will, 15% off the top and then take another 25%. So that's how you get to 36.25%.
And I can look up the statute and learn the details.
I think it's in 531.10 or 115, if I recall.
I can find it. But that is separate from the lands you manage for DSL.
In the case of the common school lands, we have a contract with the land board. Actually, it's between the land board and myself, and we are reimbursed for our expenses. They upfront approve our budget, and then all the revenues that we get, we send to the Common School Fund, and then they in turn reimburse us for our expenses.
Representative Hayden.
Several questions, Madam Chair. This graph on 26C doesn't show the 36.25% sinking fund then.
It does not. That's correct.
That would be $35 million in addition then.
Pardon?
It would be maybe $35 million more, this graph.
Yeah, our annual budget for this program is somewhere around $11 million annually. So it's about $22 million for the biennial,
yeah,
as I recall.
And then with these resources available to you in cash, Mr. Brown, plus the standing resources that you have that are available for harvest, why do you need why do you need to work with COPs?
Because the other programs, I mean, a building such as what we're doing with the headquarters office is prorated across all of our programs. That is fire, force practices, forestry assistance, state forests. And so the difference between the Tillamook office and the headquarters office is the Tillamook office is principally houses people operating on state forests. Thus, we feel we can legitimately use monies out of that fund for that purpose. In the case of the Salem headquarters office, because of the prorate, if you will, the proportional share that the different programs operate, we didn't feel that was an appropriate use of that money. And secondly, didn't feel there was enough money in there to do that. Does that make sense? No.
I didn't understand that. You know, should we take one more shot at it, or do we
definitely
move on?
Definitely.
Okay.
We'll see. The Salem, the reason we sold COPs or recommend, and you can, and was concurred with selling the COPs was the COPs will be paid on a square footage basis, a rental basis, by each of the programs that are using the space. So if our protection from fire program is using 20,000 square feet, they're going to pay rent on 20,000 square feet in order to repave the COP. And likewise, for the Forest Practices Program, people in the State Forest Program, forestry assistance, our finance shop, et cetera. You know, had we, I suppose, had we had enough money in the sinking fund for State Forest, we could have, if you will, borrowed from ourselves, but we didn't have sufficient funds for that size of a project. It's about, how many million dollar project is it? Yeah, total project for the rebuilding the Salem compound is about $20 million. We didn't have that type of, if you will, cash sitting in the sinking fund to do that. Thus, we had recommended to you and previous sessions that approved us selling COPs and repaying that by paying ourselves rent.
May I continue, Madam Chair? Mm-hmm. Have you used COPs to this extent for capital projects in the past?
We have not.
This is your first time?
Yes.
I yield the floor, Madam Chair, but I'm a little dubious about that type of expenditure with borrowed money.
I had a couple of questions concerning the sinking fund. So what this is then is a mechanism to maintain cash flow and also a capital improvement fund for things that relate to state forests. Am I getting the picture on what this is?
The sinking fund is aimed at paying for all management costs associated directly with the state forest program. And most of that goes back into land management activities.
And there is a balance of between 10 and 20 million in the fund all the time?
Yes.
Is it invested in something, or does it just, where does it actually sit?
It sits in the state treasury, and it is invested, and currently the interest off that account goes into the state's general fund. And we have a bill, 2164, suggesting that instead of the general fund getting that interest, that remain with the program so that we can do some of the...
And that would go to the interpretive center.
It could. We're suggesting that interest go into some of the public values that Representative Nolan has talked about.
Okay. Now, Representative.
Thank you. That ties it together for me, since House Bill 2164 was in our committee that we had passed out previously. How much money is in? I'm not clear how much money is in that fund right now, and then how much do you normally get on a biannual basis from the sale, or from sales, I should say.
The on the Board of Forestry lands, if you look at page G26B,
okay,
shows you the revenues and expenditures of the department from 1990 up through the year 2000. So, you know, adding the reddish bar to the blue bar would tell you how much revenues, you know, we produce off state forest in any particular year. Are pretty close.
So you're saying you add those two bars together to come up with your
total revenue that we generate.
That you generate in. And out of that total revenue, 36.25% goes into the Forest Development Fund.
Right. Okay. And the balance is distributed to the counties, and they in turn make the further distribution that you see on 26.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now, that's okay. How that ties together.
Okay.
And then the second part of your question.
How much money is in there right now?
Madam Chair, Representative Krupp, the current balance of the Forest Development Fund is about $25 million. The recent history, the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen an increase from $16 million approximately to $23 million to current $25 million. most of that increase is simply a result of increased harvest activity and a fairly favorable market at least a couple of years ago.
But that fund historically has ranged from as low as $8 million to that as a high.
So the $25 million is an all-time high then for the...
Well, in recent history, it has been, yeah, that's right. That is probably the current high. When we go into a recessionary period and sales fall off, then that fund goes down quite a bit.
Sure.
Our goal has been to maintain between 6 and 9 months of operating expenses in that fund, so because otherwise we get into the cycle of having to lay people off and prefer not to do that.
It's too bad we couldn't teach ODF&W to do something like this.
Well, there's always
the
endowment fund.
No, let's not go there. Thank you. I appreciate those answers.
Further questions? No? Please continue.
What I've asked Marty to do is, I think what we've tried to illustrate for you over the last 3 days is, as we think about the work of the department, we've tried to identify what we call core business functions, which is different than the 6 or 7 businesses we're in. And that is to provide forest policy that provides a favorable climate within which landowners can practice forestry so that in turn the public gets the benefits that accrue from that, social, economic, social, environmental. And the assessment project that we talked about yesterday is a key piece of that, as well, which then evolves into this policy document that we talked about earlier this afternoon. The second piece of that, then, is minimizing the loss of forest resources from fire, insect, and disease. That is really maintaining forest health, is another way to put that. The third piece, then, is the management of state-owned forest lands. And then finally is facilitating stewardship on private lands through education, assistance, and regulation with a focus on meeting the landowner's objectives while providing for this broader array of public values. And then we do have internal service businesses that provide support to the agency in order to do that. And I think what we've tried to do over the last 3 days is illustrate to you how the investments you make in our budget result in us accomplishing these core business functions through the operating programs that we have, that is fire, forest practices, state forest, forestry assistance, the nursery, and then the internal service businesses. So with that, Madam Chair, I would conclude my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Questions, comments?
Madam Chair, we are not going to at this time have LFO's recommendation. We're not going to hear that.
That's correct. We are. We didn't receive the budget document that we needed to work with until the end of last week, and we just simply haven't had time to work through the issues with the agency. So my intention is to have public testimony, public input tomorrow, and then we won't meet on Friday, and when we have concluded the discussions with the Department of Forestry, we'll bring the budget back in.
Long time, I believe over the last 6 years. The final draft is dated November of 2000.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you talk to the department, did they indicate that they are in the process of developing a timeline? And if so, when do they think that that timeline would be completed?
Well, my third meeting is with Doug Decker, and that's scheduled for next Tuesday. And I'm not sure to what extent they've got a timeline. I'm sure the state forester could specify that. That will be one of my questions. All I know is in this recreation action plan that I've seen, there's not a timeline or a commitment of resources. to the project.
If I may ask one last question, Madam Chair. Do you think if there was a budget note that actually said that the timeline would have to be presented to the legislative body along with the options for how to fund the implementation of this plan by a time certain, that would address your issue without having to battle for the other piece of legislation?
Well, I think so. Frankly, I'm not exactly sure as to the enforceability of budget notes or to what degree people pay attention to them. I do think it's an option to consider. And frankly, I would defer to some of the more experienced members here.
Thank you. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to make sure I understand, Representative Ringo. You're both in your testimony, and whether the mechanism is your bill or a budget note, you are not proposing an increase in the total expenditures within the department, but a reallocation of how those resources are expended to provide some threshold level of funding for activities that support recreation.
That's correct.
It seems to me, Madam Chair, that that's the essence of what budgeting is all about, both determining what the level of resources should be, but also how you allocate those resources among, frankly, competing priorities. And if there aren't sufficient resources to do everything that would be necessary or helpful, we're going to continue throughout this whole session making decisions about where the priorities need to be.
I think you've very clearly stated our mission.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any further questions?
No, I don't have questions. I'll save it for work session.
Representative
Chair, I think maybe it's a statement. Later on, we probably need to have State Forester talk about the purpose of the land's rule, grazed permit value, trust arrangement, which is obligatory to the state, and also the Crabtree case, to kind of bring it all together, why they're doing what they're doing, allocation of funds.
The State Forester is the final agenda item that we have today.
Okay.
And you're very welcome to stay for that testimony if you have the time.
Thanks, Madam Chair. If I could just respond to Representative Krieger. As you know, I have spent a lot of time looking at the Crabtree decision and some of these the county trusts. The State Foresters assured me that a modest increase in resources on recreation would not impact the state obligations in any way. There's a significant amount of funds that can be used for projects that are less than complete revenue maximizing. And this is just another example. I don't think this is going to impact county obligations in any way. Just one more point, and while you get back to your agenda. One of the things described in here is the interpretive center. In this document, it says that no taxpayer dollars will be used. I mean, it's my understanding that total project $13 million, that I think $3.5 million would be used of either general fund money or other fund money, but in any sense, either way, it's public money. And I just raised the question, and I'm not sure whether the best thing for the public is an interpretive center dedicated to enhance the image of the industry when the state's $3.5 million might better be used on recreation, keeping in mind we spend $1 million at biennium right now for recreation. $3 million would triple that. And I would just ask that this committee consider the options of how to spend the money, because there are options out there. Anyway, thanks a lot, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the committee's time.
I appreciate you taking your time to come and talk to us. What I would do now is ask Jean Wilkinson and Christina McNitt to come back and finish up.
Sorry about that.
Please proceed.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jean Underhill Wilkinson, and I'm with the Oregon Farm Bureau. I asked Christina to come back up with me in case there was any questions. She knows this budgeting stuff more than I do. But when we did learn about this service forestry issue, the members of the Farm Bureau, who are also woodland owners, became very concerned. I'm here today to support the continued use of the Oregon Forest Harvest Act, but funding Service Forestry and opposing a shift of funding to support the insect and disease program from general fund dollars to the harvest tax if this transfer of funding puts the Service Forestry program in jeopardy. I visited with numerous small woodland owners who are also members of the Farm Bureau who actively manage their timberlands and who depend on the sale of the timber for part or all of their incomes. Many of these woodland owners take advantage of the service foresters who are stationed in the fields in various parts of the state and who provide consulting work to woodland owners. These service foresters, in the opinions of our membership, are an irreplaceable source of information to woodland owners regarding conservation programs, environmental regulations, including Forest Practices Act regulations, timber-related diseases, and the latest methods of effectively managing their timberlands. As in these environmental regulations and the needs of the public and animal species continues to grow, we need to have more information, more sources of information out on the ground for these timberland owners to use. These small timberland owners that we represent feel that these service foresters out in the field are a source of information that they can trust for accurate information to properly manage their timberlands for their own income, for their own benefit, and for the benefit of the public and animal species. So I hope you will consider fully funding this program as it continues on. Our membership thinks that this program should be increased rather than potentially cut back. Thank you for your attention.
Just a comment on this. I think that certainly in the part of the world that I represent here in my legislative district, small woodland owners are a huge piece of the land base, and they encompass both the forestry side and the agriculture side of land use. And managing and harvesting a stand of timber now is a highly complex operation, and there are a lot of decisions that have to be made that are based on Endangered Species Act issues, Clean Water Act issues, landslide issues, access issues, tax impact on people's revenue picture in general. It's very, very complex. And there are a lot of regulations, not just in the land management arena, but also in the financial and tax accounting side of things. And the service foresters, I think, are a critical piece of the puzzle in dealing with the on-the-ground issues. How do you get yourself through the paperwork processes, and how do you make sure that you're managing your land so that you're doing the right thing by the land, but you're also conforming to all the regulations that are out there and need to be conformed to? And I really do appreciate the importance of the service foresters.
Thank you.
Further comments?
Madam Chair, if I might, and maybe my question is perhaps more appropriately directed to Mr. Rocco rather than our speakers, but since it's germane to what Ms. Wilkinson is talking about, can you help remind me with the service forestry services, is that fully funded out of the harvest tax, or how is it funded now?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, that program is partially funded with harvest tax and general funds. So I think they attempt to get a 50-50 kind of a split there, but I don't think it quite makes that.
So
in the past,
45.
I'm not sure. I could figure that out and get it to you.
Okay.
But in the past, the insect and disease program has been the only program that's within that umbrella of service of the forestry assistance that was totally general funded. The service forestry portion was a mix of general fund and harvest tax, but the insect and disease was all general fund.
And the proposed budget moves the insect and pest control to roughly the same split?
It moves general fund out of that program and takes it basically out of the budget and then replaces it with some of the harvest tax dollars, the 10 cents of the 15 cents that's provided for that program area.
Thanks. Just so I can understand the context for the comment. Thanks.
Further questions or comments? Thank you very much. Are there any other people here that wish to comment on the Department of Forestry budget? Then I will call forward the State Forester, Jim Brown, to do the summary and conclude the agency's presentation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jim Brown, State Forester, and I have with me Lisa Pearson from the Department of Administrative Services. I'd like to correct, for the record, some comments that I made yesterday. When I was talking about the State Forest Program juxtaposition to the sinking fund we have for that program, I made some erroneous comments. And if you would look at page G27 in the briefing notebook that we give you, I'd like to use that as a basis for my correction. The comment I made to you, when I did the original budget presentation, I made the correct comments about the size of this particular program budget. But yesterday I got kind of tangled around my own feet.
That happens to us all the time.
The agency's, the governor's recommended budget for the state forest program is a little over $57 million for the biennium. And yesterday I referred to that as $10 million per fiscal year, or the equivalent of $20 million. So I don't know where that number came from.
But we could take the other $30 million and you'd be okay.
No, at all. So I wanted to, just for the record, correct that. And what that does, I think, is what's important about that is then when you look at the balance that we're carrying in that fund, that does match my comment, which was correct. We try to carry about 6 to 9 months of expenses in that account. And as the timber market gets softer, we tend to be more conservative in terms of how we spend money. And then when the market's up, then we're more likely to move towards the 6 months balance, if you will. It's just kind of the nature of the beast of us being a physically conservative in how we do our business. Now, if I might, I mean, these are decisions you need to make during your work session, but I think as a context, what would be helpful would be to talk about how we spend money in the State Forest Program. And what I have that I've just given to Ken is shows how when you authorize a budget for this particular program, both in this program and in the Protection from Fire program, then we use an annual physical budgeting process in order to make sure that we're making good investments into the program. And this shows that for two fiscal years, and then for the total projected for the biennium. And on the second page is kind of a script, if you will, in terms of what items are in these different categories. So as an example, in administration is our planning, our land exchange program, the payment of finance for their services, policy, personnel, so forth. Under the category of forest management are the work that we do in the area of fish, wildlife, soils, air, water. Intensive management, that is tree plantation, pre-commercial thinning, fertilization, that sort of thing. Then on the forest products, that's pretty much the marketing component of the timber side of the program. Information services, this is, you know, how we pay for the threatened and endangered species surveys we do. So as an example, when we were doing demography studies on spotted owl or marbled burlap, that's budgeted under this information services. It's our inventory, research, monitoring, GIS, watershed assessment would be budgeted under this category. And then in engineering services, and then the social component, that is the recreation, interpretation, cultural, and public involvement processes. So if you go back and look at the first page, you can kind of see the balance, if you will, of how we have framed expenditures in these programs. And this proposed budget that we have recommended to you would increase the total bottom line, and we obviously would reallocate some of that into all of those categories, including the social or recreational component that Representative Ringo expressed and interest in. Now, can't remember if he handed out to you or not. One of the subcomponents, he gave you a summary of, or a piece out of the forest management plan. We have, in 1991, legislature asked us through a bill called House Bill 2501 to do a recreation plan for the Tillamook, which we did. We completed that and then had implemented that. And we were in a position where at the time we had and still have six campgrounds, mostly on the Wilson River Highway. And then we have two additional campground facilities that the counties run for us. Clatsop County manages Spruce Run, which is on State Forest, and then Tillamook County manages another one on the Trask River. And the six that we particularly manage encompasses about 225 campsites. And I referenced when we were doing the presentation on this particular program that because at the time we didn't have administrative rules that guided basic behavior out there, things had gotten out of hand on us and that those parks had begun to deteriorate. Well, as a result of recreation plan that we developed coming out of House Bill 2501, we were able to turn that around. We were able to reinvest into those campgrounds, and they are, again, family campgrounds, and one that they're full nearly every weekend during the summertime by families.
Are they day use, or are they overnight campgrounds?
We have two campgrounds that have day use areas in them, Gales Creek and Jones Creek, and the rest of them are just principally overnight facilities.
So do you use the state parks reservation system for them?
We do not. They're on a first-come, first-served basis. We do have camp hosts in the campgrounds, but they are on a first-come, first-served basis. They're much like a Forest Service campground. They are not as developed as, say, the state parks system. They're more of a, I don't remember what the jargon term is, but they're more less sophisticated campground than our state park system. And that's kind of a niche, if you will. I mean, there's a demand for that type of campground. There's also a demand for the type that the state parks provides as well. My point being that during the last 6 years, our investments have been basically to kind of clean up the system that we have and get that organized. Now, we have just completed a new recreational planning process for the Tillamook, and I'll pass that around. And this is not the full plan. What I have done is given you really the last page of this plan that shows, as an illustration, the types of both non-motorized trails as well as off-vehicle trail projects that we have planned for the next 10 years. Now, here, I mean, that is a commitment on the part of the agency that these will be done during the next 10 years. Now, if you were to ask me how much I'm going to do next year or the following year, we have asked the districts to take this information and to begin to annualize that in terms of how would we accomplish this during the next 10 years. I don't have them with me, but we have similar, if you will, pull-down menus for campgrounds and other types of recreational facilities that we intend to construct that came out of this particular project. And the meeting that Representative Ringo mentioned with Doug Decker on my staff will be able to, we'll be providing him the details of what these other pull-down menus look like for these other facilities.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Representative Bowman.
So basically, you have a plan, you have a timeline.
Yes.
You just may not know how you're going to fund it.
Well, we would fund it through the. We will make allocations, just like on that chart I showed you. We will make allocations in order to complete these 10-year plans that we've developed through a public involvement process with the interest groups. over the next 10 years.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And then beyond that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions that might be useful to the committee.
Further questions, comments? I think you're off the hook.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the attention of the committee. It's been an enjoyable experience for us. We appreciate your attention.
Thank you very much for an interesting and very informative presentation, Dr. Park.
Madam Chair, I must say that this has probably been the most complimented department of any budget that we've talked to so far. And it's absolutely wonderful to see that no matter who comes up here, no matter what their interest is, they all start off by saying what a well-run, well-managed, very responsive agency you are, and you should be very proud of that.
I spent 6 years whipping that outfit into shape.
Oh, you! So now we know who gets the credit. Thank you.
I would offer you a different opinion.
I suspect you would.
As I mentioned yesterday, we're not prepared at this time to go into work session on this budget, but when we get it together, we will bring the budget back here. You have in front of you the schedule for next week, where we'll be doing the Department of Land Conservation and Development. So we'll be back here on Monday at 1 o'clock to start on their budget overview and knowledgeable about land use planning. And with that, if there is no further business to come before the committee, I will adjourn. Yeah.